Thanks for listening to the Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Sunday on Fox is a star-studded showdown in Big D as Baker Mayfield and the Browns take on Dak, Zeke, and the Cowboys, or you may catch the Giants versus the Rams. Check local listings for the games in your area or watch it on the Fox Sports app, and make sure you get your Super 6 picks in before kickoff on Sunday for your chance to win Terry Bradshaw's $100,000. And for top story scores and more, go to the Fox Sports app. Colin, give us your winner and final score for Saints-Lions.
Saints defense isn't as good as I thought. They're not playing clean football. A lot of penalties. Michael Thomas is doubtful. This has upset written all over it. I'm going to go Drew Brees pulls it out. 28-27 Saints. But I think this has massive potential for an upset. Keep your eye on Detroit playing with a lot of confidence now because of their win over Arizona. I think it's a very, very close football game. Saints aren't playing clean football. That's what they're known for. Thank you, Joy. Jordan Palmer now joining us. He's worked with Josh Allen and Joe Burrow and Sam Darnold. And the world is changing quickly with all these quarterbacks. And he is joining us now. Quarterback Coach, Quarterback Summit, a program that helps quarterbacks reach their potential. Played in the NFL for 6 years. I really want to hit on Josh Allen. You have been working with him for years. He grew up in a tiny, tiny little town, an hour out of Fresno. You just told me off air he loves Buffalo. It's a perfect place for him. I'm kind of shocked by the jump in improvement. You probably aren't, I take it?
I'm not shocked by the jump in improvement. I will say he's kind of ahead of where I thought he'd be. He's kind of stayed ahead of where I thought he'd be. You know, coming out of college, I remember on your show, we were talking about Sam Darnold and for the pre-draft, and as Josh came up, a lot of folks thought, you know, they saw the inaccuracy, they saw the completion percentage in college at Wyoming, and so it was very easy to label him a potential bust. He did have all the ingredients, but there's a thing that doesn't show up on tape that I've been fortunate to experience, and that is how coachable he is. And here's the thing about coachability. Coachability is not about tucking in your shirt and doing the right thing and say, you have to be athletic, which he is among the best athletes in the league at this position, and you have to be all in on the right plan. Now, my name keeps getting attached to him, but that's just in the offseason. Brian Daboll is a name that nobody's really talking about enough. His offensive coordinator is dialing it up. His quarterback coach is Ken Dorsey. So he's surrounded by a bunch of good people that are giving him good information and dialing it up, and the personnel adjustments and that they've had, and the way that Brandon Bean, the general manager, is building. And then you get a talented, coachable guy in this situation, and the numbers you get.
Quarterback Coach, Quarterback Summit, Jordan Palmer leads that. It's a fascinating program, and he's worked with a lot of the good ones. I want to talk – I'll go to Joe Burrow in a second, who you've worked with. But Russell Wilson, I mean, I've loved him forever, but he's playing at a level now where incompletions are rare. What is the light? What is the jump? What has he done in the last off season? We know he's a grinder, but there's something going on here. He's playing at a level that's a notch above his level.
Yeah, I totally agree. He's as fun to watch as anybody right now. And you know, we've never really said, boy, if Russell wouldn't have made that play, they would have won that game. Like for years, we've never been the reason that they lost. And I know we can circle Super Bowl, but that's pretty specific. I think the biggest jump for Russell, and this is just my hypothesis here, is this past offseason, Russell Wilson is typically one of the busiest quarterbacks in the league. He's married to a very famous person. He's got a clothing line. He's got a ton of marketing deals. He does a ton of his foundation. They run camps around the country. He's very philanthropic. This dude runs a million miles an hour. And I think COVID locked him down in San Diego, and all he got to do was focus on football and working with his teammates, as we saw on Instagram a little bit. But I think shutting him down this offseason gave him one thing to focus on. And since getting drafted a few years ago, this might be the first time in his career that he's 100% only paid attention to football. And I think we're seeing the results of that.
Lamar Jackson Monday night. He's now never won a game he's trailed at half. It sounds or feels like something. I don't know exactly how big it is. But is there, I said the other day, is that whereas Mahomes is on an escalator going up, he's on a people mover at the airport, Lamar. He's going forward faster than ever, but is he going up? Is there a ceiling with Lamar, in your opinion?
Well, I don't know if there's a ceiling, but I know that if nothing changes, he's probably at the ceiling, in my opinion. I think of Lamar kind of like, you remember when Uber first came out?
Yeah.
You know, in the beginning, it was like, you're trying to wrap your head around this. Like, oh my gosh, wait a second. The app, I press that, they pick me up. And so the early adopters, the people that saw it, they thought it was awesome. And Lamar coming out, we all saw it in college. But then the second part of Uber was when you started to go, do I trust this? Wait, this is a stranger picking me up in my car, right, in their car, right? And with it's like, is it going to translate? He's so fast. Is it going to translate to the league? And then it started to work, and everyone was all in, right? To the point where he was MVP. But, you know, Colin, you're a celebrity. You're a wealthy guy. You've had a driver before. Yeah. You've had somebody pick you up, yeah, and they're only working for you that night. There's a difference between any of these Ubers and having a driver. And I just look at Lamar and I go, it was awesome. It was hard to see if it was going to work. And then it's worked. But here's the difference. Until he can throw people open and control the football, even on completions, I think he's a little off. A little inside, a little low, a little high. Mark Andrews makes more spectacular catches than people give him credit for.
Yeah.
And we saw it last year in the playoffs when he was a little high, and that turned into a pick. And it happened a couple of times. And so until he improves accuracy, these other guys, Patrick, Russell, they're just going to be a gap ahead. I love the runs. I love the excitement. I don't miss any Lamar Jackson games. But until he gets that detailed accuracy, I think he's probably scratching the surface of the ceiling.
Well, you told me Joe Burrow was going to be really good. He is. I do worry, Joy and I talk about this, that's got an Andrew Luck feel, and he's not quite as big and thick as Andrew. He's just getting pummeled. And I worry about the psychology of that, and how long can you just take. SEC football's good. It's not the NFL. Do you worry about the psychology of getting sacked? He's on pace, I think Joy said this week, to get sacked 78 times. That's like double Andrew Luck. Do you worry about that, the effect?
Well, this feels like David Carr, actually. If you remember when he was the first pick, yeah, of the Houston Texans, I think he broke some records in terms of sacks. But here's the deal. I worry about Joe physically, like anybody. I'm worried about Sam Darnold's shoulder. I'm worried about all kinds of things physically for these guys. I can just tell you right now, I am not worried about anything that happens between the ears with Joe Burrow. This guy, I've talked with you about it. From a confidence standpoint and a maturity standpoint, and those are the two things that make you play well early, whether it's college or pro, this dude's off the charts. And so I don't see him having issues with hanging in there and taking another shot. This is not that guy. He's going to get up off the canvas and want another round. And so, yeah, I'm worried about him physically. He is taking a beating, but he's also 24 years old or whatever he is. And so I think he's going to be fine. And as they build this O-line, they've got some weapons, and they've got a guy who's going to compete for four quarters and throw people open. So I think the future is as bright as it's been for Cincinnati.
By the way, Cam's mechanics are better. It's noticeable. He's much tighter. I mean, this is what you do, so you can use all the verbiage that you would use. But when I watch him play, he's more compact. The shoulders don't dip. Shocker. His accuracy's been really, really good. Like, and I watch Cam, and I'm like, this is the Cam I wish I – this Cam I'm totally into. What are you seeing?
Well, I think that's been the main focus for almost a calendar year for him, which is the first time ever. I mean, this guy's always had a lot of stuff going on. It was a big deal when he was in junior college, right? And so for him to have this year where he's lurking in the shadows and rehabbing and not playing, I think this is as good a time as there's ever been for him to really refine some things. And I think we're seeing the byproduct of that. The other thing that we're seeing is they're giving him simple concepts. And because of the effect, and not because he can't handle more complex concepts, it's because when you can run the ball and you can be this multidimensional on the ground, play action, it doesn't just open up people down the field potentially, it also simplifies your progressions. And so for him, a lot of times you see him with clean mechanics because he's throwing to number one or he's throwing to number two. When guys' mechanics slip is when they got to move around and scan the field and come back to the number one guy. That's when guys get wide legs. That's when they get, you know, longer windups. And so I think actually the play calling and the effectiveness of the run game is why we're seeing such a positive effect on Cam's mechanics and his consistency.
Sam Darnold, we don't know what's going to happen. You know, it's the bottom line in this world. Where you land matters. Darnold, I actually watched him last night. Jordan, I felt bad for him. That was my takeaway emotionally. I was like, I know him. I like him. Is he growing at all, or has he just hit a ceiling?
Well, he's certainly growing. You know, even in my conversations and the role I play in these guys' lives, I like to point out things that may not be seen. And one thing is, look, these guys are going to get experience just through osmosis, right? So like when the New York media rips him, good or bad, his fault or not, either way, you're getting that experience, right? So last year, he got a lot of experience, thicker skin, grew up. This year, what we're seeing is he's going to look back, I think, on this season and say, that is when I became truly dynamic in terms of creating time and space, making it happen. Now, I don't expect to see 46-yard runs every week, but his ability to get outside the pocket, throw people open and make plays, it happened at SC. It's happened for years now. I think this season is where he's going to grow a lot. And when you don't have guys that can create separation, and look, I don't know what Pro Football Focus says, but the Jets are creating less separation than all other 31 teams. And so when you do that, teams play man. When they play man, you have an opportunity to throw people open, and that may be your only chance to create separation. I think he's going to grow a lot in that category. But at the same time, he's in a tough spot. I had over five NFL starting quarterbacks last night text me during the game saying something along the lines of, people have no idea how good this dude is. He's actually better than most of these other guys. That's how bad the situation is.
Yeah. Jordan Palmer, quarterback coach, Quarterback Summit. It's a program that helps quarterbacks reach their potential. Played in the NFL for years. You know his brother, of course, Carson Palmer. And I was going to ask you, who's the next great phenom? But are you even allowed to say that? Is it a high school kid or something?
Well, there's some good guys to look at. I'm excited to watch Trey Lance play. I know a lot of people are excited to see that. I'm excited to see, the Pac-12. There's some guys there. Chase Garbers out of Cal is going to be an interesting guy to watch. Keaton Slovis, I'm excited to watch. JT Daniels, who transferred from SC, is heading over to Georgia. That'll be a big one. And he's playing against a guy I've worked with for a long time in Bo Nix. So the future is bright at the quarterback position. And then I've got an awesome little, I think he's 11 now, this little guy, Chase Curran from L.A. he's one to keep an eye on, too.
11. The calls for recruiting will happen right after you're off the air. Great seeing you, Jordan.
Thanks for having me.
You bet. I just love talking about quarterbacks. So much fun for me. He's great. Jordan Palmer. All right, here is Joy Taylor with the news.
No.
Turn on the news.
This is the Herdline News.
11.
Yeah, that's funny.
We think Tyler Herro's young, 11.
No pressure. The Herd is talking about you already. So Kyrie hasn't played a game yet with Kevin Durant, but he says he is more confident in KD in high-pressure situations than he has ever been with anyone else.
10 seconds left. One-point game. Who's shooting? You or Kyrie, KD?
Depends on who's hot. I don't see it as anything other than that. Like, 1-3 pick and roll, or it's an ISO for either one of us, or it's something great for our team. One thing I've always been comfortable with is, you know, I felt like I was the best option on every team I played for, you know, down the stretch. This is the first time in my career where I could look down and be like, that can make that shot too.
That didn't bother me as much as everybody else.
It doesn't bother me because I think that Kyrie's just talking with his new teammate and it's really not that deep. And also, I don't really care about if that's how he feels or not. Like,
right.
Kyrie can think whatever he wants to think. Everyone's like, oh, he's taking a shot at LeBron. I don't think he's taking a shot at LeBron. I think he respects LeBron. He's probably very good friends and close with LeBron. Now, he came out and put out a video talking about it's clickbait society and the media wants to pin us, everyone against each other. And, like, look, you said what you said, man. Like, on a podcast. So it's not like you were recorded in your home and this was posted. You went on a podcast, which is a media platform.
Yeah.
So you said this, and if you're saying that KD is the one that you, for the first time in your career, you can trust to take that shot, and you played with LeBron, well, then you're saying you didn't trust LeBron to take that shot. That's literally what you're saying. Now, people can get mad about that or not. It doesn't bother me that you said that. It's not like, it's not hurting my feelings. I'm not getting upset about it, but you said it.
Right.
And look, I think that I don't have a problem with Kyrie as much as he gets everyone else upset. I think Kyrie is a great player. I think that the Brooklyn Nets are going to be much better than everyone thinks. I think they're going to be in the NBA Finals representing the East next year. I think everyone's just forgotten how great KD is and are assuming that he's not going to be able to come back from this surgery. He will, and he's going to be tremendous. I mean, they did an amazing job in the bubble with essentially none of their stars with them.
Right, right.
That said, it's not the media making this up.
Right, if you said that,
that's what you said. And listen, I would trust KD in that spot as well. I think it's going to be interesting how this all plays out. It has a little bit of, when he said this, it kind of reminded me of the Miami Heat, the Big Three.
Yeah.
You know, like you're talking about things before you've actually been on a court together to accomplish anything yet.
Yeah.
And that said, that year the Heat were in the NBA Finals. Now,
right.
They lost those finals, but they were still there.
Yeah.
So, you know, you may want to wait and see how the chemistry all works out before you start saying these things. And the reality is, look, Kyrie hit one of the biggest shots in NBA history. So him trusting himself is perfectly okay. He should. I mean, he's done it. He's lived it. Talking about everyone else, like, you can't be mad that people are going to think you're taking a shot at LeBron. I don't think he is, but you went on a media podcast and said it. So Gardner Minshew is used to being underestimated, but he says he doesn't pay attention to the noise. And he made an interesting comparison when he was talking about how he blocks out the doubters. He told the Players Tribune, Vincent Van Gogh, people told him, you can't be a great painter. You only have one ear. You know what he said? I can't hear you.
Okay, I didn't know that was a...
I don't know if that's a thing, but he's not paying attention to all the critics. Look, I mean, I think that there's a balance you have to reach in anything when it comes to critics. We're nerdy media people. This is what we get paid to talk about, right?
Yeah.
I think there are people who give you critiques who you should listen to, like your coaches.
Yeah.
And there's things that we can all see together as a collective because we're watching football that we can agree on. I think Gardner Minshew has looked great. Now, they're going to be playing the Bengals. They got destroyed by the Dolphins last week.
Two not great teams. I can't wait to watch it. I mean, it's really two not great teams. But I think it's just the power of the NFL. Jets, Broncos, I watched every snap.
Well, yeah. So, like, that was not good teams last night, and
but it was
very
fun.
Interesting down to the last minute of the game.
It was wildly entertaining.
That's how the NFL goes.
Yeah.
I think the Jaguars are in an interesting situation with Gardner Minshew because going into the season, we kind of all expected them to be in the Trevor Lawrence sweepstakes, and Gardner Minshew is showing that he has no interest in taking the Jaguars there. Now, again, that leads to players don't tank. Organizations tank. So if you're a player, you're not going to go out there and try to lose a game. That's not how players or coaches, for that matter, operate. But you have to have the personnel to not be tanking either. But it is an interesting game this weekend. I'm more interested in seeing how the Bengals do because despite the way that Gardner Minshew's been playing, this is a game that you have on the Bengals schedule as a
right.
You know, a possible win this year. So last night seems like it's a matter of time before the Jets fire Adam Gase. But Sam Darnold said he is not going to focus on his current coach's future.
It's nothing I'm worried about. I mean, you know, obviously, I love Adam. But, you know, it's not my decision to make.
Well, that was a disaster last night.
Well, the defensive coaching, I mean, how many late hit penalties? The whole thing was just unhinged.
The penalties were absurd on both sides, but the Jets really felt like they had just unnecessary penalties, late hit penalties. And the end of the game was, I mean, they just became unraveled. Like, and that's the sign of a really bad team. But it's also kind of like, man, do you have any control over the situation?
No.
You have to have some, not even pride, but just poise. Like, you're going to lose this game. Why are you adding to it with all these unnecessary penalties? You're going to get fined. It didn't feel like the worst night for the Jets until the last 3 minutes or so. And it was like, okay, this is not the way that you wanted to end this game, because it really didn't feel like a fireable game for Gase until the end of the game.
Yeah.
When it was like, what is happening?
Yeah, it was actually, and again, I'll say this, it's not defending. The Jets do not have a Pro Bowler. They don't have a Pro Bowler.
No, there were so many injuries. I mean, for a moment there, I was like, oh, Sam Darnold's season's over.
They were on their third left tackle at one point. And out, I do think Jamison Crowder is a really nice slot receiver. He's a nice player. I like that pickup, but they don't have a one. He should be your third receiver. You should have two receivers. If Jamison's your third receiver, that's a nice receiving. And by the way, they're tight ends now. Herndon, it's done. You can't depend on him. It's like they don't even throw to him anymore. He gets hurt. You can tell the Jets coaches do not trust. They don't.
Night.
That coaching staff is out on him. So that's another area of need, is tight end for them.
I just don't know what you do. I mean, Jordan Palmer just said it. Like, people still believe that Sam Darnold has the capability of being a franchise quarterback. Well, but if you end up with the number one overall pick, you're in New York. I don't know if you can pass up on Trevor Lawrence.
Well, it's a good point. The Giants may win a game because the division's so bad. Like, you get Washington at home and Philadelphia's a mess. The Jets division, they're not beating New England and Buffalo. So can you beat Miami? Maybe at home. Like, the Jets could go like 2-1, 15, 2-14. The Giants, to me, look like they could pick up a couple of W's at home in their division.
I could see the Giants not taking Trevor Lawrence, even though I think that Sam Darnold is better than Daniel Jones. I just don't know how, if you have the number one overall pick and he is there, how you pitch that to your fan base that you didn't take him after having a season like that, which would be abysmal if you had the number one overall pick. Like, you have to think of the morale of the fan base in the city, right, if you have the number one overall pick. To make a trade like that, I don't know how you do it.
Joy with the news.
Well, that's the news.
And thanks for stopping by.
The Herd Line News.
He's good. Jason McIntyre, straight fire, joining us next in Best for Last. Tomorrow's headlines. Today he gives us his NFL picks, and he's really good at it.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
Jason McIntyre joins me Friday all year, but especially during the football season, he makes his picks. We call it Tomorrow's Headlines Today, his predictions on NFL picks, and he is now joining me live. It's not a robust weekend of dynamic games, but there's a handful of fascinating games, so let's not waste any time. Tomorrow's Headlines Today, Jason. What's the headline going to be for Browns at the Cowboys?
This is probably the best game of the early set. And Colin, I know Dallas needs a win badly. The headline will be Bake It Like Beckham. I think this is an Odell Beckham big game performance. We've seen this Dallas pass defense. I think they're 24th in the league. They've just been shredded every week, okay? They've given up 4 100-yard receivers in 3 weeks. And if you look at Kevin Stefanski, the game he called last year for the Vikings when they beat the Cowboys, it was a lot of run, and then boom, hit him with the play action. And I think Odell Beckham is in line. Maybe his biggest game with the Browns. Obviously, he loves the big stage. None bigger than Dallas right now. There will be fans in the stadium. I took the Browns on the 4.5 points here, Colin.
Tomorrow's headlines today. What's it going to be for Cardinals at the Panthers?
So this was my best bet of the week. I gave it out on my podcast, and now I hear that DeAndre Hopkins is hurt. So I'm a little nervous, but the headline will be Cobra Kyler. I know you're a big Netflix guy. Obviously, you're watching Cobra Kai, but Kyler Murray, Colin, this is a fantastic young player. Sets up for a great bounce back week against one of the worst defenses in the league. Kyler had 3 picks against Detroit last week. That hurt, and they lost by 3. But this Carolina team is awful. Okay, they cannot stop the run. Kyler Murray only had 5 rushes last week. Cliff Kingsbury's going to be like, yo, Kyler, can we get to the 10 carries again? Big game from him and Kenyon Drake. I think the Cardinals are a playoff team this year, Colin. We were early on them. I like Arizona to prevail on the road.
All right, your next one is one of my kind of upsets of the week, potentially. Tomorrow's headlines today, Saints at the Lions. And you should listen to me because I was 4-1 last week, but go ahead.
Yes, you were good last week, Colin. So the Saints have to go on the road. They're 1-2. Panic for Sean Payton. The headline will be Saints go marching out of Motor City. I really think Detroit is the side here. Everybody loves this Saints team, and I love them. They were my Super Bowl pick. But I'm telling you, Colin, right now, there's social distancing in the secondary. Seriously, 25th against the pass in the league. We saw Aaron Rodgers go into New Orleans last week, okay? He did not have Devontae Adams. And they couldn't stop Alan Lazard. I mean, Aaron Jones didn't even have a big game out of the backfield. This Saints defense is a problem. And if you listen closely, Sean Payton took a shot at his defensive coordinator this week, Colin. He's like, we look like a high school football team out there. I mean, I was a little surprised.
Yeah.
Stafford and the Lions now very healthy with Kenny Golladay back. I'm telling you, this is a dangerous Detroit team. I know the 17 of you who go on Twitter and yell at me about the Lions. I'm telling you, this is a great spot for the Lions. And the Lions only 4, Colin. I feel like you give me 4 Lions at home, I like Detroit.
Next one's one of my favorite bets of the week. Headline for the Bills and Raiders. I really like Buffalo here.
Yes, your boy Brian Daboll. I hear you guys are best friends now. The headline will be leaving Las Vegas undefeated. I like the Buffalo Bills here. But, Colin, this is a mash unit for the Las Vegas Raiders. If you looked at that injury report,
I did.
Two starting offensive linemen down. Henry Ruggs, their best speedy receiver on the outside, not even practicing. And their number two cornerback is down. I really think Josh Allen, listen, I've been a Josh Allen basher. He's super coming into his own. The guy's a legit MVP candidate, Colin. Can't take it away from him. Brian Daboll, as you've said throughout the show today, offensive coordinator. Maybe the Jets kick the tires on him once they get Adam Gase out of there. Josh Allen, big win for Buffalo in Vegas.
And the game of the weekend, perhaps, outside of the Cowboys, Browns, a headline is going to be what for the Patriots at Kansas City, the Chiefs?
Listen, Bill Belichick, Andy Reid, got to love this matchup. But the star I'm watching at, the headline will be wham, bam, thank you, Cam. I like Cam Newton and the Patriots run offense to go into Kansas City and run it down the throats of the Chiefs. 30th against the run is Kansas City.
Yep.
I'm calling the upset. You know I'm in the $1.4 million gambling contest. I'm doing well so far. I'm definitely taking the Patriots, getting the points here. It was 7. It's come down to 6. Bill Belichick, as a 7 or more point underdog, 9-2 against the spread. Can you imagine what he's telling his team this week? Okay, they don't respect you guys at all. 7-point underdogs against Kansas City. And you know Bill Belichick is a real crafty guy. Last week we called it. He was going to take Darren Waller out of the game. What does he do this week? I think Belichick, who plays a lot of man in the secondary, I think they go zone, which is what can confuse Mahomes a little bit. Not a lot. He's a great quarterback. But the Chargers did it. We saw it a little bit last year. The zone can fluster Mahomes a little bit. I think Belichick throws in some wrinkles and pulls the upset.
Yep, they can get a pass rush without blitzing, too. For the record, you've been a Jets fan for a long time. I didn't think Darnold was bad at all, considering what he had to work with. Jeff Smith, never heard of him. One catch before last night. Your thoughts on Gase and Darnold going forward?
I'm surprised Gase hasn't been fired yet. You know, maybe the Jets are waiting for the 4 p.m. news dump. Colin, you can't go forward. Okay, if you watch the Kansas City Chiefs or some of these teams, you see a lot of pre-snap motion, interesting formations. None of that with the Jets. They go up like a 1987 offense, and they run the ball right into the line of scrimmage with Frank Gore. Did you see they had 6 red zone plays run last night? 5 of them were to a 37-year-old running back. Like, what the hell are you doing? I'm very upset as a Jets fan. They're 0-4, hurtling toward irrelevance once again. And Colin, I know you're a Sam Darnold guy. I like him a lot as well. But if they're in the mix for Trevor Lawrence or Justin Fields or this kid Trey Lance, who everybody's going to watch this weekend out of North Dakota State, I think Sam Darnold's going to be in a tough spot because this new GM did not draft Sam Darnold. And the new coach you're going to get, he's not invested in Darnold. So the New York Jets, once again, a classic dumpster fire. And my kids last night, who are right in the room next to me doing homeschool, Dad, why are you a Jets fan? Like, they ask me this every week, and I don't really have an answer other than I was born in New York.
What if, though, you're the worst team in the league, and you can get three first-round picks and 3 second-round picks from a team? Do you keep Darnold, take those picks? Because you already have 2 first-round picks this year and next year. So you could have, like, 3 first-round picks for the next 2 years, 6 first-round picks. You can really build a nice offense around Sam Darnold with that, no?
You could. I guess my problem is who's offering you the trade, because I'm telling you right now, I don't want to give up the number one pick and see Trevor Lawrence in the AFC twice a year or every year for the next decade. That kid looks like a superstar on the Andrew Luck, Peyton Manning kind of level, and I just couldn't do it in the AFC. Now, if it's an NFC team, you know, the Chicago Bears want to do it, hey, maybe I'll talk to them because we know they got quarterback problems. But I don't want to bail on Darnold, but I want to – if I can get Trevor Lawrence, I'm not passing that up, Colin.
Yeah. Good stuff, J-Mac. Good seeing you.
All right, buddy. See ya.
Boost healthy testosterone and burn fat. Check out mdriveformen.com today. mdriveformen.com today. Walgreens, Rite Aid, Vitamin Shop all have it. So we are done for the week. I'll be on the Sunday Fox NFL show. And Jason McIntyre has his Straight Fire podcast. I think that's Monday through Friday every morning. So here we are tonight. College football is kind of hard to get your arms around because all the conferences start at different times. Georgia plays Auburn this weekend. I'll watch that. That's the first big SEC clash between top, like, 10 powers. But it's
college football last week was great.
Yeah. I'm going to take Lakers tonight by about 12. You?
Let's go Heat.
Oh, wow. That's a... Now we do know that Dragic is out, right?
Yes. Bam is doubtful, so we might find out in a few hours if he's going to play, but Dragic is not. He's not going to be back.
There's going to be a lot of doubtful for Miami the next week. Doubtful they win. Doubtful they win a single game. Doubtful they can compete. All right, for Joy and John and everybody here, thanks so much for watching. We'll see you Monday. Live in L.A., it's The Herd.